I want to take a couple of moments to say something to you. And I want to ask you to just listen to me, which I know that you can, without reaching any kind of decision regarding me. I simply want you to focus on the information that I'm going to dispense. By that, I mean, I would pray that you would not find an easy way of translating my message to you at this moment through the prism of simply labeling me a racist, an Uncle Tom, handkerchief head Negro, porch monkey, or some other bigoted, if you will, knee-jerk, without analyzation response to what I'm about to say. But before I say it, I want to ask my always present help to be with me. Jesus, I ask that you will give me strength that I might be able to speak, and you would give the listener strength that they might be able to hear without an immediate knee-jerk, easy-to-speak response, but they would think long and deep and analytically about my statements. What I want to say to you at this present time is that black people, African-American people, probably as much as 96% of the total black populace, including children, hate this great land called America. Let me express that once again. Black people, African-American, probably as much as 96%, whether they be churchgoers, college professors, prisoners, convicts, whether they be hairdressers, undertakers, preachers, whatever, children or adults, black people hate America. And I want you to hear that without the instant knee-jerk responses of calling me a racist or an Uncle Tom. But would you please play that clip from Jeremiah Wright, and then I'm going to be back to conclude my statements.
Government gives them the drugs, builds bigger prisons, passes a three-strike law, and then wants us to sing God Bless America? No, no, no. Not God Bless America. God America, that's in the Bible, for killing innocent people. God America, for treating her citizens as less than human. God America, as long as she tries to act like she is God and she is supreme.
Now, that's Dr. Jeremiah Wright, former pastor of the Holy Trinity United Church that I've called of hell in Chicago, Illinois, where Barack Hussein, the long-legged Mac Daddy Obama, spent 20 years. Now, did you hear the roaring of the people when this man cursed America and continued to do so? And that's just one of the many sermons that he preached with the same kind of hatred for this nation. And he was united. He was united in a spiritual hate moment by all of the 8,000 people that were there listening to him preach and supporting him consistently over the 40 years that he preached there in Chicago, Illinois. Let me say this. How often, when you drive through a black neighborhood, whether it's in the suburbs or in the inner city ghettos, do you see American flags out on days like the 4th of July or some other important historical national day? How often do you hear black people, either in the media or in movies or in school settings or general conversations or on your job, talk about their love for America? How often do you hear it? Seldom, if ever, do you see black people stepping forward and expressing a passion and a love for this nation. It doesn't happen. It is fairly non-existent. Now here's what I want to say to you. I want you to understand something, that we're never going to solve the race problem. We're never going to get to Dr. King's dream, where men will be judged by the content of their character as opposed to the color of their skin. We're never going to get there. We're never going to get there until we deal with this issue openly and challengingly and confessing and addressing the fact that black people hate America. We can't sweep this under the rug any longer. Moreover, that black people's hatred for America, they hate this nation. They hate America. And Obama hates it more than anybody that's black. He hates America. That's why the rhetoric, the sermons of Jeremiah Wright were appealing to him for so long. Michelle, the fist bump of Obama, his wife stated during the campaign last year, the first time that she's ever thought well of this nation is when they finally allowed her husband to move high in the political process. But all before that, it was evident that she hates this nation, and I can tell you now, she still does. Listen, we need to begin to confront black people with the fact that they don't deserve a place in this nation until they remove the hatred that they have for this nation everywhere, in every stratum. And one of the things I have been trying to express over the past few years about black people and their response to America is that it doesn't matter whether it's a Henry Louis Gates, or it doesn't matter whether it's a Cornel West with a PhD, or whether it's an ex-convict, or whether it's a shoe shine boy, a gas jockey, or just a school teacher. If they are black, they all come down the same way when it comes to white people in America. They hate America, and the America that they hate is white America. If they could have America by itself with all of its factories, all of its financial institutions, its great hospitals, its great technology, if black people could have this nation without white people management, they'd love to have it. Of course, you know, in 2 months, it would be in the gutter because they wouldn't be able to run it or manage it. They've never managed a nation. They've never built a bridge. They've never built great naval vessels. They've never done it. They've never done it. They've never done it. Now, when white America put Barack Hussein Obama, the biggest hater of white people, the biggest hater of white people, he camouflaged it in his speech out in San Francisco, San Mateo County, calling them, you know, people that are strange, that cling to their guns and their Bibles. Really, he hates white America. He may give you a little bit of slack if you were a San Francisco type of a liberal that will be willing to hate white America too. Then he may align himself with you slightly, but he hates you too if you're white. This is true. It is true that black people hate this nation, and it's true that Obama hates it more than anybody walking this planet at this present day. It needs to be clear. And to put him in office after listening to Jeremiah Wright, knowing that he's the son of Jeremiah Wright, was absolutely ridiculous, to say the very least about it. Now, here's what I want you to understand. I want you to understand something. He is now demonstrating his hatred. Now that he has this power, he is tearing this nation limb from limb, demonstrating his hatred. And guess who the people are that are cheering him on? Black people. They are cheering him on because that's exactly what they want to do. Let me say this to you. Let me say it to you. Let me ask you to consider, if you really want to see this nation saved, then blacks and whites alike are going to have to deal with this poison that's in the hearts of black people, this hatred. You cannot buy black people's loyalty. Ted Kennedy, you can't buy. Chris Dodd, you cannot buy black people's loyalty. And all you, U2 and Bono and Bill Clinton and everybody else, you can't buy. I don't care how much money you give the black people, you can't buy their love. You can't buy black people's love, Lyndon Johnson. You can't buy black people's love, John Kennedy. You can't buy love. You can't buy it. I don't care how much money you put into the pockets of black people and people in poverty programs, housing programs, and the like. They still hate you. The truth, and now is the time, and the moment is ripe. Now is the moment of truth. That blacks and whites alike realize that the problem that is now tearing our nation apart is the hatred that black people have for this nation. Otherwise, Obama would not be the alleged president at present. This matter has to be discussed openly. Now, it has to go to war. We got to go to war. And every war, there are going to be some casualties. You start dealing with this matter truthfully, people are going to dislike you. People are going to call you a bigot. They're going to call you a racist. But try to do what I did. First of all, ask people, before you just give a knee-jerk reaction, you heard what I said. You heard how I explained and appealed to you. You do the exact same thing. But my friends, I want to say something. We got a cancer in America. We got a cancer in America that's inoperable. We got a cancer in the heart of the black people for hatred for this nation that must be diagnosed as such and must be allowed to die, if not executed, and then we can move on as a great nation. Obama, Jeremiah Wright, hates this nation. GD America, GD America, GD America. And yet, you think that Obama is different. How much longer and what else needs to be done in order to satisfy the call of what the San Francisco liberals and the Los Angeles liberals consider as doing something for the poor? I mean, my God, Lyndon Baines Johnson established what is known as the Great Society. And the purpose was to do something for the poor. Do something for the poor all throughout the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s. It's been do something for the poor. I mean, Bill Clinton runs around and gives away billions of dollars in Africa. I mean, billions. You two and Bono and all that crowd of philanthropists and whoever else that they might want to title themselves running around over in Africa and every place they can find a black face to do something for the poor. What I want to ask as a question is, when in the heck are we going to see the poor doing something for themselves? That's what I want to know. I mean, all right, okay, Jeremiah Wright. So we did bomb Nagasaki and Hiroshima, you know, 50, 60 years ago. But my God, the Japanese have turned around and built a great society, and they're selling all y'all black folk Lexuses, Toyotas, and Camrys, and everything else. Well, when the black people going to turn around after everything is done for them and do something for somebody else? I mean, all this business is health care, doing something for the poor, doing something for the poor, doing something for the poor. When in the heck are poor people going to turn around and do something for somebody else except wait for people to do something for them for the next 350 years? All right, so you voted in a black president. Was that what you were trying to do? To do something for the poor? So you got the long-legged Mac Daddy now. He's going to get $1.5 million for a prize that he didn't earn, the Nobel Peace Prize. He's going to get $1.3 million for that. When are the poor people, after all of what has been done, all the taxpayer money, all the Great Society, all the Community Reinvestment Act, all of the money dumped into programs like you won't believe, from condoms to baby diapers to peanut butter to pork in a can, when are the poor people going to do something for themselves? I mean, what is going on in this? When are black people going to get sick and tired of always being on the bottom after billions of dollars are poured into their neighborhoods? Okay, so you make them mayors of cities. You even got one now that's allegedly black. That's the president. And you still got to do something for the poor people, you know. Poor people. We got to do something for the poor people. You know, and half of the poor that you're talking about doing something are grown men laying up in the bed till 11 or 12 o'clock in the day on drugs, on SSI. You call that poor? I don't call that poor. These men are just scared to go to jail because their brothers have gone to jail. What is this? We got to do something for the poor. So we need this health care reform bill because we got to do something for poor people. I've never seen anything as foolish as this in all my life. When are the poor people going to ever stand up and do something for themselves? They don't ever have to do anything for everybody else that's been doing something for them for the last 50 years.
When poor people gonna just turn around and do something from the, when they gonna turn around and wipe their own behinds? For once in our lifetime, can we ever see poor people stand up and wipe their own behinds? For once? Well, we know we've been discriminated against. Will you shut up? You know they had us here slaves, you know. They brought us from Africa. My God! You say that one more time, I'm going to choke you. One more time. If I hear that one more time out of you, I'm going to choke your tongue out your mouth. Well, let me repeat. Let me repent for that. Lord, forgive me for saying I'm going to choke somebody. Because I'm not really going to do it. I'm just tired. I'm sick and tired. And listen, I live in Harlem. And I said that all this doing something for the poor haven't helped the poor at all. All it has done, it has furthered the careers of people like Jackson, Sharpton, Obama, and a whole lot of others, has furthered their careers, but it haven't done anything for poor people. They're just a stupid, dumb, poor, sick, worthless, drug-addicted, crime-riddled, hate-minded as they've ever been. Got to do something for the poor people. Got to do something for the poor people. We as Americans, we got to do something for the poor. Lord have mercy. This is really sickening, you know. I mean, it's about as sickening as you can get. When are poor people going to ever stand up and do something for themselves? When? You tell me. How much longer do we have to wait? And the more you give them, the worse they become. The more you give these so-called poor, namely code language for black people, the more you give them, the worse they become. I guarantee, roll the clock back 60 years, cut the welfare system, and cut all this other entitlement, and watch the black community stand up and start building schools and churches and banks and men staying at home raising their children. Roll the clock back 70 years, good God Almighty, and you'll watch a great black society. Even in the midst of Jim Crow and the Ku Klux Klan, black people were then stellar family people building their own communities, servicing their own communities, building banks right next to white-only water fountains 70 years ago. But once we started giving and helping the poor, got to help the poor people now. Well, we need affirmative action, you know, because the poor and the black people, we got to level the playing field. Good God Almighty. I got your playing field, all right. It's been 70 years, 50 years nonstop of giving to the poor, and they still poor. Hey, when y'all gonna wake up out there? You're throwing your money down a rat hole. You call it the poor hole. You're throwing your money down a rat hole fooling with these black people. You're throwing your money down a rat hole. Haven't you noticed they're not getting better? They're going to jail, making more babies, killing one another in Chicago, killing one another in Detroit. Haven't you noticed they're not getting better? You put them on television, they get worse. And their leaders are getting fatter, money-wise. Jackson and Sharpton got to do something for the poor. I never seen anything as ridiculous as this health care bill program. I mean, God-fearing Americans ought to march on Washington and then surround the Capitol building and say, we're not letting none of y'all out here till you scrap this health care bill and get the deal. Hey, I tell you what we really need to do. We need to send all these poor people, we need to send 60,000 troops to Afghanistan. That's what y'all need to be talking about up there on Capitol Hill. Because these Muslims want to kill us over here. I've never seen anything like this in my life. I mean, what's wrong with y'all Americans out there? Why y'all still going for this okey-doke that you got to give money, you got to keep giving your hard-earned money to some poor drug addict in Harlem or in Detroit or in South Central Los Angeles? What's up with that? Why do you think, why are you letting Jackson and Sharpton and Obama, Maxine Waters, Sheila Jackson Lee, John Conyers, Charles Rangel, and a host of other lying black lips tell you that you got to take your hard-earned money and support a man who makes four or five women pregnant, and now you got to support his babies? You, I'm talking about you out there in Indiana. Hey, you out there in Elkhart, Indiana. Why you got to take care of black man's baby in Harlem? What's up with that? What's wrong with y'all? Why y'all keep letting this? Are y'all so guilt-ridden by slavery that every time the black person cries, your pocketbook and billfold dries? Every time a black man cries, I need help, you have to pay for it. Even when he robs his own brother right in his own neighborhood, you still got to pay for his lawyer. You got to pay for his prison. You have to, no matter what that black man does, no matter what the so-called poor does, you got to pay for it. It's time this foolishness stopped in America. It stopped. It doesn't have to be this way. This is adverse to God. God never created anybody to live the way black people live. This has got to stop. God is sick of it. If y'all aren't sick of paying for it, God is sick of it. He's sick of this. No man on earth should ever live the way black people live, with their crazy selves. Always crying discrimination, always crying slavery, always talking about the white man. God didn't create us to live in this mess. It needs to stop, and it needs to stop now.
That's the facts. Can you take it? I'm going to tell you what happened in our history. The black man has gone from field slave to political slave. And he's going that route because he's full of hatred and his victim mentality. The very fact that black people are racist towards all white people is illogical. They had to know many, many white people in the North fought for slavery. What kind of moron lumps all whites together, the ones in the North and the South, hates them all for slavery, when half the country fought to free them? They're morons, retarded. Their hatred and bitterness for whitey blinds them. They don't even want to hear the truth. They don't want to learn the truth. They just want to be a victim. Whitey owes me. I'm sick of this reverse racism. The white man in this country is becoming a minority, and everybody is racist against a male white Christian. Middle-aged male white Christian is becoming a endangered species in the United States of America. And I'm getting sick of racist black people telling me I'm racist and I owe them if I don't bow down and kiss their rear end and apologize for slavery. I didn't take part in slavery. I don't owe nobody an apology. This article is called An Offer of Proof. It's from an ex-liberal Hollywood guy. He has a blog spot. He says, a reader objected recently to my comment that Democrats were responsible for the lynching of black and white Republicans during the 19th and 20th centuries. Sounding a little like Iranian President Mohammed Ahmadinejad, he demanded academic proof. So this guy says, the Democrats responsible for the lynching of black and white Republicans during the 19th and 20th centuries. And some guy says, prove it. And he responds by saying, although one essay could not adequately present proof, these books, and he has links, this movie, and this Civil War series contain plenty of resources for further studies. He says, like my antagonist and many other Americans, public schools taught me that white people had enslaved blacks and that their progeny were entitled to relief. I didn't question this, although it didn't square with my ancestors who fought to end slavery 150 years ago. If whites were guilty, why did 2 million of them interrupt their lives to fight the bloodiest war in American history to free slaves owned by Southern Democrats? If this was a white against black thing, why did whites fight the Civil War against other whites? The answer is that the Civil War wasn't between whites and blacks, but between Republicans who wanted to end slavery and Democrats who did not. And as ugly as the Democratic Party's roots and legacy of slavery, the KKK, Jim Crow, and disenfranchisement is, why does the party still exist today? The first clue of this information blackout comes directly from the Democrats. Although the Republican Party proudly discloses their abolitionist roots, abolitionists, that's free slaves, their abolitionist roots on their website, the Democratic Party website ignores their slavery agenda, excluding the entire period between 1848 and the 20th century, as if Democrats had nothing to do with the brutality used to round up blacks. This is a synopsis of what the DNC website missed. Failed reconstruction. This geographical representation contains pre-war information on free states and slave states. The Civil War began when Democrats wanted to spread slavery west and the Republican Party wanted to end it. That's what the Civil War is about. Slavery was the basis of the economic system of the South. People couldn't run their big plantations if they paid all these black people wages. That whole economy, that whole era, could only survive if it was run by, if it was used slaves. So the war began when the Democrats wanted to spread slavery west. As the country expanded west, the Democrats, the Southern Democrats, wanted to take that slavery west and build more plantations with more slaves. And the Republican Party not only didn't want to do that, they wanted to end slavery. And so it started war. And 5 years later, like I said, 360,000 white people, Republicans, had died in the struggle to free black people from Democratic slaveholders. The Democrats weren't happy with the Reconstruction, that's 1865 to 1877, especially when the radical Republicans, including former slaves, began to supervise reforms. So already there were black slaves, former slaves, in the Reconstruction, and the Democrats were balking. They started balking at it. Says, imagine how a former slaveholders feel about being supervised by Yankees and black Republicans. These Democrats quickly adopted Jim Crow laws and formed the Ku Klux Klan. Former slaves like Congressman John Lynch and Senator Blanche Bruce were both Republicans, as were all 23 blacks who entered Congress after the Civil War. 13 were ex-slaves. Mississippi's history illustrates the political ascendancy of blacks from 1865 to 1890, when Democrats used fraud, violence, and intimidation to pass a new state constitution that undid all the Republican reforms gained during the Reconstruction. Blacks weren't welcomed in the Democratic Party until 1935, when Congressman Arthur Mitchell, who Democrats supported for his opposition to the NAACP, was elected in Chicago. By 1948, Democrats offered some modest reforms. They outlawed lynching in 1939, and Houston native Barbara Jordan became the first black congresswoman from a southern state in 1973. Mississippi burning was not about whites who killed blacks. It was about Democrats who murdered civil rights workers trying to implement reforms in 1964 that President Lincoln had secured and 360,000 white people died for a century earlier. These workers died trying to restore what Democrats sabotaged since 1865 and still undermine today. He says, as I Googled my way around the internet, I found that most news, government, and university websites offer information on slavery and post-war brutality, but inexplicably ignore or defend the undeniable linkages to Democrats. Many sites describe the Civil War, Jim Crow, disenfranchisement, and the KKK as if unrelated to the Democratic Party's efforts to control black voters. The Ku Klux Klan justifies its history as a response to persecution by radical Republicans who owned free slaves during Reconstruction, but it doesn't mention Democrats. The Ku Klux Klan was a Democratic institution. Northridge University's Ronald Davis offers a comprehensive timeline of Jim Crow, but doesn't mention Democrats until the white primary 1944 decision 8 years later. The University of Michigan shows a 98% Democratic vote in the Deep South, but doesn't explain how voting was enforced by Jim Crow, disenfranchisement, and the KKK. George Mason University does the same thing, implying that blacks preferred the Jim Crow party over Republicans who had freed them. The Columbia Encyclopedia states that organizations like the Ku Klux Klan kept, quote, and African Americans and white Republicans from voting, but doesn't mention the Democrats behind it. Like Wikipedia, Long Island University History of Slavery does not mention Democrats either. These slave narrative and photo sites make no mention at all of the Democratic involvement. Children who click on Discovery.com's U.S. link will learn that Europeans brought slaves to America and that Lincoln freed them. Children are apparently old enough to learn that racism is wrong, but not old enough to know the truth about the Democrats, who are the primary keepers of racism and fought a civil war to keep it from ending. SlaveryInAmerica.org offers educational resources, but nothing on Democrats. Duke University offers some books on the subject, but you have to buy them. He says, emancipated slave Ida Wells wrote that lynching was used to keep blacks out of the political process, but the website doesn't say why. Despite the historical evidence against the Democratic Party, why are so many Americans so ignorant about their past? Why do so many American voters still support the party of slavery, the KKK, Jim Crow, and lynching? It says the media and university biases that have created and enforced this historical blackout are well documented. Like most unions, the National Education Association extorts millions of dollars from taxpayers through union strikes. Union leaders then draw millions from workers in the form of union dues and direct them back to their pockets and to the Democratic Party. The NEA is the fourth largest contributor to the Democratic Party. I have described the relationship between teacher unions and the DNC that produces millions of undereducated and indoctrinated graduates and dropouts here, here, and here. And he has links to articles where he's exposing that. He says teachers, like the media and universities, have an incentive not to expose the real history of the Democratic Party, for anyone who understands their history will find parallels between their past and how they control black Americans and laborers today. Why haven't Americans asked why blacks in cities like New Orleans, Los Angeles, and Detroit still suffer after 40 years of almost exclusively Democratic Party leadership? Why do some of these neighborhoods still look like neighborhoods from the Deep South during Jim Crow? Democrats have co-opted the media, public schools, and unions to preach their revisionist history. Democrats empower union leaders who control teachers, writers, movie production laborers, actors, electrical workers, and so forth, to redirect union dues back to the Democratic Party who empowers them. Union teachers and educators write the curriculum taught in public schools, careful not to offend the party that empowers them while marginalizing Republicans. Union actors, set workers, writers, musicians, and others in the media are careful not to alienate their union leadership or the Democratic Party to avoid workplace retaliation. As a result of all these and other factors, Americans are inundated with propaganda and union pressure that not only rewards acquiescence, but also punishes resistance. This is why so many people don't believe Democrats lynched blacks, which is part of the reason why I am now Republican. Democrats continue to prove that those who do not understand their history are condemned to repeat it. All right? That's the truth, baby. Democrats are weasels, lying liberals from the very beginning. Republicans are now just as bad. But at the beginning, the Republicans weren't. They were the party of the blacks that helped the black people. And yet 99% of black people today are Democrats, because the Democrats hand them money. They pander to the victim status. They spread white guilt. So if you're a Christian, do not live in white guilt. In the kingdom of God, we're all the same. This doesn't even matter in the kingdom of God. But we don't just live in the kingdom of God. We also live on earth in a nation. And we have to live around people who are racist, who hate us. Black people hate white people. Homosexuals hate anybody that's not a homosexual. Most Muslims hate Christians, okay? There's lots of ways we're going to be dying and lots of reasons why we're going to be dying in the coming days. There's a lot of people in this country that hate white Christians. I don't owe the black man anything. And don't you walk around acting like you owe the black man anything, except as a Christian to preach the gospel to him and care about whether he's saved or not. As far as politically, he can take a hike, as far as I'm concerned. Go take a long walk on a short pier. And I'm not racist. But if anybody thinks I'm racist, that's fine. You can call me racist. It's the truth. And the fact is, most people can't handle truth. I want to play this last clip for you. He's a black senator that switched to Republican Party. Listen to what he says.
24th District,
this is the right guy,
right here in beautiful Louisiana. Recently, yeah. I made what many are referring to as a bold decision to switch my party affiliation to the Republican Party. I wanted to take a moment to explain why I chose to become a Republican, and also to explain why I don't think it was a bold decision at all. It is the right decision, not only for me, but for all my brothers and sisters in the black community. You see, in recent history, the Democrat Party has created the illusion that their agenda, and their policies are what's best for black people. Somehow it's been forgotten that the Republican Party was founded in 1854 as an abolitionist movement with one simple creed, that slavery is a violation of the rights of man. Frederick Douglass called Republicans the party of freedom and progress, and the first Republican president was Abraham Lincoln, the author of the Emancipation Proclamation. It was Republicans in Congress who authored the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments, giving former slaves citizenship, voting rights, and due process of law. The Democrats, on the other hand, were the party of Jim Crow. It was Democrats who defended the rights of slave owners. It was the Republican President Dwight Eisenhower who championed the Civil Rights Act of 1957. But it was the Democrats in the Senate who filibustered the bill. You see, at the heart of liberalism is the idea that only a great and powerful big government can be the benefactor of social justice for all Americans. But the left is only concerned with one thing, control. And they disguise this control as charity. Programs such as welfare, food stamps, these programs aren't designed to lift black Americans out of poverty. They were always intended as a mechanism for politicians to control the black community. The idea that blacks, or anyone for that matter, need the government to get ahead in life is despicable. And even more important, this idea is a failure. Our communities are just as poor as they have always been. Our schools continue to fail children. Our prisons are filled with young black men who should be at home, being fathers. Our self-initiative and our self-reliance have been sacrificed in exchange for allegiance to our overseers, who control us by making us dependent on them. Sometimes I wonder if the word freedom is tossed around so frequently in our society that it has become a cliché. The idea of freedom is complex and it's all-encompassing. It's the idea that the economy must remain free of government persuasion. It's the idea that the press must operate without government intrusion. And it's the idea that the emails and phone records of Americans should remain free from government search and seizure. It's the idea that parents must be the decision makers in regards to their children's education, not some government bureaucrat. But most importantly, it is the idea that the individual must be free to pursue his or her own happiness, free from government dependence, and free from government control. Because to be truly free is to be reliant on no one other than the author of our destiny. These are the ideas at the core of the Republican Party, and it is why I am a Republican. So, my brothers and sisters of the American community, please join with me today in abandoning the government plantation and the party of disappointment, so that we may all echo the words of one Republican leader who famously said, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last."
All righty. I'll leave it at that. Anybody have anything to share, Ed? Okay, looks like we got Brother Andrew. Go ahead, Brother Andrew. Go ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to get on real quick, Dan, and say what an excellent, excellent message this was tonight. I appreciate all the research you've done that. And I also, too, just wanted to add that before the program, I had looked briefly at some news this afternoon, and I had seen that George Zimmerman was pronounced not guilty, innocent in essence. And it was interesting to see that websites like CNN, you know, the news that they cover, that they show pictures of the protesters crying and, you know, basically peaceful demonstrations. And it's not until you get to Fox News and The Blaze, especially The Blaze right now, has several good articles on the left's horrible reaction to the not guilty verdict in George Zimmerman's trial. And but the Blaze and Fox News both mention the riot that got out of hand in Oakland, California, where the blacks were smashing police cars and burning trash cans and basically destroying their neighborhood. Now, so far, that's the only riot, but as the week goes on here, we'll see what happens, but it should be interesting. So thank you again, Dan, for your message. Appreciate it. Back to you.
Amen. Thanks for sharing that. K-Man says, the truth shall set us all, especially we the blacks, free. Amen. Amen. Alrighty. Thank you for sharing, everybody, tonight. Anybody else? Okay. I think that's long enough. It went pretty long tonight. We'll see you next week, God willing. And a river don't rise.